Post-traumatic stress disorder is a mysterious condition that has grounded many veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. The abbreviation PTSD stands for a variety of mental, physical, and movement disorders in soldiers who have apparently returned from the war in full health, but are completely distraught and traumatized from within. The prevalence of this horrifying disorder is so high that some doctors suggest symptoms of the disease are observed in all American combat veterans.
I personally focus and work mostly with people who have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And this has been the case with almost all war veterans. Of course, they could suffer from other illnesses as well. And PTSD almost always is accompanied by another diagnosis. Always there's a depression that goes along with the PTSD. There's always a mood disorder that accompanies PTSD.
Yeah, well, you can't really say that there's one thing that causes PTSD. I think it is an accumulation of the thing. Number one, we have to look at the fact that the military is a very racist and sexist organization. When you are in basic training, you are taught to kill the and insert your favorite racial slur or ethnic slur here to refer to the people, the Middle Eastern people, the Asian people. It's the same using the N-word to our African-American friends.
Post-traumatic stress disorder is one of the leading problems among our soldiers coming back. Now, we've got Marines that are going on 4 and 5 combat tours. We've got Army soldiers that are going on 3 and 4 year-long combat tours. And post-traumatic stress disorder and suicide are closely correlated. You have soldiers that are coming back that are operating on just a hair trigger, extreme violence. In other words, they have an impulse to kill themselves and they have an impulse to kill other people. And that's a known problem that happens with people who are suffering from extreme PTSD.
Most of the people I knew and some pretty close friends who really struggled with PTSD were the ones who didn't really have anybody to talk about their frustrations with. And instead they would turn to things like alcohol and buying a new car or a big screen TV and just trying to put those memories behind them rather than, you know, think about what they did and try and learn from it one way or another.
I left in November of 2007. I was injured, though the Army was saying I wasn't. I was in 3 IED explosions, and my back was messed up real bad. I tried to go to the doctor there on the FOB. And he didn't even look at me. He just told me it was muscle spasms and not to worry about it. I knew it wasn't muscle spasms, but what can you do, you know? In Iraq, that something else was wrong with me because my speech was slowing down. I was having extreme headaches. I was forgetful about everything. And they also found out in Fort Riley that I had a traumatic brain injury and severe chronic PTSD. But the doctors wouldn't look at me in Iraq.
Although PTSD has a wide-scale impact on the soldiers, their families, and even individuals in the society, patients suffering from this disorder are not properly treated with attention and care. Some hospitals refuse to admit PTSD patients because the disorder is relatively unknown. And the military hospital's negligence and lack of proper treatment lead to the continuation and deterioration of the PTSD patient's condition. This is how American soldiers who for their country risk their health and peace of mind and that of their families are ignored by the U.S. government and military officials.
And I still haven't been approved for my VA claim. I've had to work full-time, even though my pain level is so high that some days I can't even get out of bed. But I have to work full-time because I have bills to pay. I can't just stop eating because of that, but I don't get disability compensation because I was turned down.
To the VA hospital, and they don't, they're, you know, they don't really direct you. You have to ask questions. And if you don't ask the right questions, you don't know what to do with yourself or go anywhere. There's no advocates for veterans. And I used to go with him. And then finally, he kind of crashed and burned last summer. He had a meltdown, a very bad meltdown. And I took him to the VA. And we found someone in the VA who kind of took a liking to my son and helped him through the system. But that's not, you know, unless you're lucky, you don't find that. They don't have people standing there saying, let me help you.
I have a lot of health issues that stem from Iraq, and I also have been turned down for all of my veterans benefits. I applied for 9 disabilities to include both of my knees, my hips, my back, my lungs, my eyesight, my hearing, traumatic brain injury, and post-traumatic stress. I put in an application because I thought, again, a little bit too trusting of the way things work.
I have anger issues in dealing with a lot of general public, as well as my back. I can't sit too long or stand too long without being in pain and discomfort, and so there's not much I can do.
Do you feel like you've been let down by the government?
I feel like I've been first off used by the government for my ideals in military, to be sent to a war that had nothing to do with us, and I feel used for it.
Almost always fall on deaf ears. It's very difficult to convince, because, you know, people are more interested in locking up people, putting them away. It's easier, but more expensive.
I have 3 friends that I deployed with who, you know, might have been able to control things for a little while, but at one point or another ended up in mental institutions. The media or the rhetoric can be a lot of, you know, support the troops, but I think most people have, you know, a very specific thing they want. Has not only on them, but on society and on their families, and, you know, families are getting torn apart after people come back just because of the stress and those psychological issues. And yeah, it just takes, you know, a lot, a heavy toll on society as a whole.
And I would call up his reserve unit and say, isn't there something we could do? Is there anywhere he could go? And they're like, no, ma'am. We don't know. We don't have any services. Tell him to go to the VA hospital. He goes to the VA hospital. There's nothing they could do for him. If he needs psychological help, he has to go through a whole battery of psychological tests. And it takes months.
Attending to the problems of the returning Iraq and Afghanistan veterans is so inadequate in the U.S. that some military hospitals attempt to conceal the realities of the issue. As far as trying to get rid of the PTSD-affected soldiers via immoral and inhuman procedures. For instance, in many cases, harmful and cancer-causing drugs have been prescribed for PTSD patients, a hazard to their health. It has also been observed that alcohol and addictive drugs have been recommended and prescribed for such patients.
From 2000 to 2001, I was employed as a pharmacist at the Tucson Veterans Affairs Hospital. The events of greatest concern to me that I personally witnessed pertained to patient safety as follows. Seriously flawed cardiac arrest resuscitations, cancer chemotherapy overdose, and several other less egregious complaints, including one that was particularly of concern to me, employees taking extended, grossly extended breaks rather than focusing on their jobs to care for the veteran patients.
Soldiers and Marines are coming back from repeated tours from Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering extreme mental duress from combat. They are not getting the help that they deserve in terms of counseling. They're getting a lot of drugs given to them. They're being treated as disciplinary problems, and it's often resulting in suicides and murders.
I was initially afraid to approach my superiors with my concerns because I was a fairly new hire. I was still within my the probationary period of my employment. However, I eventually decided to meet with my superiors individually and privately, working the chain of command as I was expected to do. when it became apparent that none of my superiors were going to were following up with a response to the concerns that I expressed, I filed a whistleblower complaint with the Office of Inspector General, the VA Office of Inspector General, and the U.S. Office of Special Counsel. I was terminated from the hospital 12 days later.
What's happening is they're coming back from these wars, they're getting handed a bunch of pills to take for their problems, their commands are calling them and wimps that they can't handle the war, and they end up acting out.
The situation is even worse for female veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. They suffer deeper and more extensive problems and are subjected to serious mental and emotional disorders. Many of them complain about sexual assaults during their presence in these countries and suffer from severe depression after their return.
I'm thinking that women are exposed to additional traumas while they are. Apparently, they have been exposed to possible sexual harassment and maybe even rape, those kind of issues. But frankly, I would be very worried about women who have left little children behind, do seek psychiatric help because of trauma, early trauma. Very, very, the most frequent reason for women to seek treatment is early trauma, early kind of issues that have impacted their lives, and they develop one or another kind of a psychiatric illness. It is not necessarily PTSD, but it could be any other kind of an illness.
I'm representing a client right now with her permission. We're going to submit her information of what happened to her at the advent of the war on terrorism, whereas she was a cook at Fort Carson, Colorado, and she was physically assaulted, and she claims that she was raped. And she tried to report this, and an E8, which is a high-up non-commissioned officer, actually kept her from reporting it to keep everything quiet, to the point where she had such mental trauma, which is documented in her medical records.
If you look at the people returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, the reason that they're different are many of them are female, many of them are older as service personnel, meaning that their experience wasn't as an 18 and 19 year old, it was as a 30 year old. So that's going to be different as well.
They have hired many more mental health professionals to work with them, but I don't know how, if there's enough of them to deal with that many casualties. It looks like the casualties are significant.
The American veterans returning home from Iraq and Afghanistan are themselves a problem and cause of insecurity in the society. They carry with themselves bitter memories and harsh, horrifying experience. This has provoked many of them to turn to alcohol and drugs as refuge.
Most of the vets I've met to then were severe post-traumatic stress cases, most of them using drugs and alcohol, and I've been a straight edge kid my whole life. To this day, I've never had a sip of alcohol. The only drugs that I use are prescription drugs. I'm very much, have always favored not using. And so I really hated a lot of the people that were self-medicating with drugs and alcohol. I hate seeing drunks, it really annoys me. And it was in the veterans community, there's a lot of drinking, a lot of it.
That of the two million or so people who have served in Iraq or Afghanistan, that anywhere between 20% to 30% of them will show symptoms of PTSD. Some of those symptoms are inability to keep a job, anger issues, spousal abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, suicidal tendencies, homelessness. The rate of homelessness for current vets is 2 to 3 times the national average for that age group. The rate of suicide for the current veterans is 6 times the national average for that age group.
They're giving them medicated drugs. You got depression, take drugs. That's what they wanted to do for me when I got back, because I told them about how I thought in my mind. And their answer to that was, here, you need to take drugs. I said, well, I'm not taking drugs. Okay? And that, I don't know, it's just a cycle of just mess, and it's a tragedy what's going on.
In the Marine Corps, I know because my son has told me, they'll come in and they'll talk to them about their deployments, and they'll say, now you guys have seen some pretty awful things. You've seen your buddies die, you've seen people die. Take all of that neatly and put it in a box. And take that box and tuck it behind your heart and don't think about it anymore. It's away, it's gone. This is what the Marine Corps tells them. And they say, okay, see ya. And they send them out. And when he got out, he came home. And that was it.
Considerable number of soldiers victimized like this in Iraq and Afghanistan wars are prone to severe depression and despair after a period of drug and alcohol addiction. They eventually resort to suicide. The suicide rate in the U.S. military has risen exponentially. The death toll from suicides among the returning American veterans even exceeds the combat death toll.
You know, trying to wonder why I was, waking up in the middle of the night to all these, to any random sound, and you know, trying to wonder why I had to, you know, every time I saw a small girl, I had to think of the young girls I dragged from their homes by the arm and threw out to the street who were crying their eyes out and begging us to leave them alone. I was wondering why every time I saw an older man, I had to think of men that we tortured in our detention facilities. All these things that I couldn't get my mind off of. I had to understand why I was a part of them.
That there's an enormous amount of soldiers out there and veterans who feel hopeless. I think there are soldiers in the military that feel like their situation is hopeless, mm-hmm. both materially and spiritually in a sense. They feel rotten or destroyed somehow, and even outside, there's this like, the military to me like breaks existence down into this awful dichotomy of either being, you know, like totally like, you know, hyper achievement, or you're just better off dead.
In the last few months, the suicide rate of veterans and active duty soldiers was so high that more soldiers were losing their lives from suicide at their own hand than on the battlefield. That's a sign that the people have been traumatized by their experience.
A veteran suicide, because I relate to everything except pulling the trigger. I think it's the most selfish thing in this world you can do, to leave the people behind that you love because you can't deal with whatever it is.
And extremely, you know, it's the ultimate, so it's the solution for feeling absolutely hopeless and not getting the kind of support people will need, and and it's more common here again because of the, I think, individualistic, and then maybe in some societies where religion still plays a significant role. You will talk to a Muslim, let's say, and I treat many Muslims, you know, a Muslim, you know, and they say, I thought of suicide, but I will never do it because, I'm not supposed to. It's interesting. You don't hear that from other religions that frequently, but it is, he is deterred. The person is deterred by his, you know, Islamic teachings.
Meanwhile, the families of war veterans who have endured much pain and agony have taken action themselves. They have come to each other's help by setting up volunteer counseling and treatment groups to try to compensate the negligence of the officials. These families try to take care of their children in any possible way. They are in contact with each other and endeavor to solve the problems of their soldier children. Some of them, who have lost their kids to suicide, try to prevent the reoccurrence of this bitter incident among other returning depressed veterans.
And if you send a human being to war again and again and again and again, and they see killing, and they do killing, and they see people killed, they will come back and they will be damaged good.
I don't know as much as Kevin and Joyce Lucy would know, because they've delved into it because of their son, okay? But this is all how things evolve through military families speak out, speaking with each other, thinking about what would a science for, let's say, for them, for suicide.
One of the main reasons is that the military has done a very poor job preparing and for this influx of extremely ill people. There's not enough doctors, there's not enough resources, there's inability among the command, in other words, the people that command these troops, to understand what the problem is among their own troops. And of course, if you treat somebody like they're a bad soldier when they have a mental problem, they end up acting out in very bad ways.
I'm sure it is not a very powerful group of people who can speak, you know, I mean, for themselves. It's not. It really is not. So, you know, it's not a very, you know, strong lobby. What kind of a lobby? You know, everything in this country happens by lobbying.
The message of many of these returned soldiers is that they don't understand why we're there, that the people there don't want us there, that we don't understand the culture, we don't understand the traditions, we don't understand the customs, and that it's really crazy to think that we could social engineer somebody else's society. We have a hard enough time here at home. We have veterans who are homeless, sleeping literally on these benches, like the one I'm sitting on right now. We can't take care of our own people. What makes us think we can go and build democracy somewhere else? And I think a lot of the returning soldiers are coming home very traumatized by what they have seen, what they have done, the realization.
Now the American people, especially the victims of the two horrific wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, know that the two destructive wars have had no positive outcome for Americans. Destruction, irreparable damage to Iraq and Afghanistan, extensive blows to the U.S. economy, and the injury and death of thousands of American soldiers are what these two devastating wars have entailed. Still, the White House leaders persist in war.
And this is what I would be telling the parents. You got to live through the war. Your child has to come back because they're going to war. There's not a doubt they're going to war.